This week on Our Beer Could Be Your Life, we sat down with Jeff Rosenstock, a self-described professional recording artist and person. He's also a singer, shouter, screamer, songwriter, and he made a beer with Springdale Beer Company, where we work, called Tell Yourself It's Fine. What's up, guys? Happy Friday.
Happy Bard's Friday, been... Joe.
How y'all doing?
I'm doing well. Dennis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing better than I was, but yeah, I'm all right. I got a bone to pick with you, Matt Oz.
Feel free. Pick that bone.
Contrary to what you said in said podcast coming up, this is not a pro pee podcast. We do not pop these peas, okay? Oh, drives me insane.
We're going to record an oddcast without that letter going forward.
You're damn we'll right we are.
An entire episode without using any P's. Well, I'll have you know, because we were on video with Mr. Rosenstock, he did put the cover on the mic, and we have no popped P's from his end. Mine still popping as usual. But hey, such is life.
What are you gonna do?
Are you guys drinking any beer today? I opened one for this podcast. I'm sorry, oddcast. I sure hope you guys are joining me in this.
I am drinking a Tell Yourself It's Fine. I had one left in the fridge and figured I'd open it to enjoy during this nice open that we do for this.
I've got a non-alcoholic seltzer because reasons. Yeah, it's a peach mango by Canada Dry.
Canada Dry.
Yeah.
Dennis, how was your two-day hangover that you got from drinking a bottle of whiskey?
That was miserable. It was a three-day hangover, and I don't recommend doing that.
Ooh, a nice long weekend hangover. Always the best.
Oh, yeah. What a way to spend a long weekend. Almost dying. Yeah, don't do that, kids. I don't recommend doing that.
Honor the fallen soldiers of this country by dying a little bit yourself on a long weekend.
It's the least I could do.
Yeah, what are you drinking over there?
You know, our colleague Alex made a monthly experimental beer that is called Cliff's Edge, and it is a Scotch ale. And this is my third can of it. I've taken to splitting it in half because I don't know the strength of it. And half of a can has been just fine. And it's a lovely beer with a lot of malt character, and it's very, it's very nice. I think Alex did a really nice job. I'm really excited about it.
I'd never tell him this, but that's a really good beer.
Don't worry, he probably doesn't listen to this.
I don't think he does. Also, I would never tell him to his face. It's a really good beer.
So I actually, you know, I know Oz's relationship with ska music. Because he and I have a similar relationship. Dennis, I don't know much about yours. I would like to know how you feel about ska. As the kids are saying on Twitter now, ska or nah?
Yeah, mostly a nah. But, growing up in Walpole, I was friends with the Boston Jolly Pirates because they shared a band space in the same building as us. And, they were super cool dudes. They actually, funny story, hit my guitar player in the face with their band dildo. That was fun. I don't think I've laughed as hard in my life as the time that happened.
Was it strapped to one of them, or is it just like a free?
No, it was a free floating dildo. Full, like, you know, open the door, threw it, yelled something, ran out. I collapsed onto the floor in laughter. They were super cool. I liked them. And that's the entire extent of my ska experience.
Well, all ska bands have ska dildos. So,
they do. That is a backbone of ska. Mm-hmm. I'm told.
And I was excited after talking to Jeff to go and watch a couple episodes of Craig of the Creek, the show that he composes music for. And he sneaks in so much good ska. So he's really indoctrinating, as we talk about, the next generation. Even like the bad guy music has a little upstroke on that one end. I love it. To my knowledge, the kids show does not feature the traditional ska dildo. But you know, yeah, maybe in future seasons.
Yeah. It's for the children, right?
I don't know if your children's shows are ready for a ska dildo yet. We
have you ever seen Disney shows? They're disgusting. I mean, all the phallic symbols in Disney.
I mean, like the ska teenage show will definitely have the ska dildo coming in.
Yeah, but sure, of course.
You know, you got to get it to like 25-year-olds playing 17-year-olds for it to be okay.
Right.
I like where our conversation was like, Dennis, do you like ska? And you're like, well, let me tell you this dildo story. Okay. To bring it back to Jeff, I tried to a moment ago, I'm going to bring it back one more time. We made this beer with him. And in the course of collaborating with musicians this year, we have found out all sorts of things about how to do this remotely, like talking about beer styles and, let's say, use the verb sending beer across the country by way of legal means to make sure that they can taste things and give us a sense for what their flavor profiles are. And also like thinking about how to promote these things when Jeff, as you'll hear now, is based in LA and obviously we're in Boston. He opted to take a portion of proceeds for this that we would usually use for promotion and use it towards supporting the Greater Boston Food Bank, which is really cool. He's also going to be donating a bunch of rare versions of their Jeff Rosenstock LPs to a raffle they're going to be doing also in support of Greater Boston Food Bank. So we're announcing that today for the purposes of podcast glory. So that's happening. So that's all going to be out in the world. And that's really exciting. It was a cool thing for him to do. But anyway, now back to dildos for a second. What color was this ska dildo?
I believe it was purple.
Sounds right. That sounds very like, you know, jubilant.
I think,
you know, I definitely heard Bomb the Music Industry is the first like Jeff Rosenstock project. Before that, he was in like a straight up ska punk band called Arrogant Sons of Bitches. And I first started like really homing in on his style on his solo records, and then I like put it all together that he's like sneaking in all this like just kind of really subtle ska influence in a lot of this stuff, which I think is really cool. And I think he also kind of snuck into the mainstream. Like I think a lot of like cool music publications like him now and had to like begrudgingly accept that he comes from a ska punk background.
That is definitely one way to put it. I think that there's a lot of like begrudgingly being like, yeah, Jeff Rosenstock's good, this stuff is really good, No Dream was awesome, fine, I'll listen to ska Dream, fine, I'll have fun, ugh, you know, music snobbery, but finally realizing that they can enjoy something.
Yeah, enjoying music in the world is a good it's a good attitude to take. And I think I don't know, what did you think of ska Dream? Did you like ska Dream more than No Dream, Oz?
I mean, they both have things that I like about them. Because I don't know if I've listened to ska Dream enough to say that I like it more than No Dream, because No Dream is just so fantastic of a record. But I could see myself more often listening to ska Dream, I guess, just because it's easier to like crank in my house when I'm, you know, I'm listening to vinyl when I'm like cleaning the house, which is the lamest thing ever, but it's just when I like crank stuff up. So I bet I'll listen to ska Dream more than I'll listen to No Dream, even though I think No Dream's probably a little bit, you know, better sonically in the end.
It's a hell of a pivot to take during pandemic to be like, oh, I'm just going to re-record an entire album that I just put out and haven't toured on yet and haven't played a single live show for.
as yeah, we're gonna record this entire thing remotely too. So like, just send me bits. Like Dennis gets frustrated enough that we like, you know, record two different sessions. Imagine just recording like 50,000 little bits for a fucking album.
Yeah, I would lose my mind.
He told this story on the In Defense of Scott podcast about how he like sent a demo of a song to Mike Park to like give to Angelo Moore from Fishbone to see if he would do a solo. And then he just like sent a sax solo back over the demo that wasn't quite the same as what they were going to do. And they somehow made it all work. So yeah, I can imagine it was quite a frustrating process, but I think the result is awesome. I don't know how to pick between the two. I think they both have a place in my collection. So I'm excited to have a relationship with both of them. And it's been really cool working with Jeff. Jeff seems like a good dude. We talk about pizza, famous Los Angeles pizza. You have to stick around to the end for that one. We talk about what it's like to be an East Coaster on the West Coast. And I don't know, we talk a lot about beer and how what his relationship with it is. So I think we actually talk more about beer than I expected, which was nice. Cause you know, this, as you guys know, is a beer podcast.
Yeah, it was,
it sure is.
It was nice to hear that he, you know, worked in the beer industry. So it gave us good footing to talk about it with. So
yeah. Shouts to Brooklyn Brew Shop. For no reason, cause they're not a sponsor of our podcast, but they're a good introduction to homebrew for a lot of people. And, you know, as we talk about with Jeff, homebrewing is like a really great way to get to understand beer a little bit better.
Yeah. I think anytime you make something on your own, you're going to appreciate it more no matter what.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, y'all enjoy this episode. If you get a chance to buy some Tell Yourself It's Fine, you're going to be supporting a good cause and drinking a good beer. So much love.
I think you can still pre-order Ska Dream. Comes out in like September. So go order that as well from
Jeff. Can. And you can head on over to the Springdale Beer Social for entering to a raffle to support the Greater Boston Food Bank to win some cool band variants of stuff, some signed stuff. Yeah, check it out.
Not much. Hi. Nice to meet
nice
you.
Nice to meet you, man.
Same.
We're waving across the coast. This is fantastic.
Wow. Waves across the coast.
This is quite a setup you are sitting in.
Oh, yeah.
Is this where it all happens?
It's where all the Craig of the Creek stuff happens. Yeah. Oh,
cool.
I'm here all the fucking time. I should put this pop filter over my mic. Oh. Yeah. Now we're talking.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. No peas there.
See, we are a pro pee podcast here. We want to hear those pops. We want to hear them.
Oh, yeah?
We want to get up into there.
It's not that bad.
It also drives Dennis, who, you know, engineers our show, crazy, which is why I think I like it even more.
Yeah.
Does Dennis soften up the peas for you in post?
Everything's in post. It's all post, Jeff.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah. Not enough podcasts do a lot of
We
posts.
Actually, we've gotten enough inflection out of you that we can just build the whole question and answer set at this point. So.
Yeah, we're basically done.
That's great for me. Cool. So I'll just go do my thing. It's nice giving you the inflection and syllables and consonants you needed. And yeah, I guess have a good weekend.
Well, welcome to our beer podcast. Our beer could be your life. This is it.
Thanks for I have beer.
Oh, here. Lovely. Let's open a beer.
If you're drinking, yeah. If I don't have the beer here, do you have the beer?
I do have the beer.
Do I need to record myself?
No, we do it from this side.
Okay, cool. Did the podcast already start, and did I just interrupt the?
Again, post production.
Yeah, no, we just kind of get it rolling and let it roll into it, and then we'll do an intro later that introduces everything. So,
who wants an introduction first?
Yeah, we should have an introduction in the middle. We should just
at the end we'll be like, and by the way, in case you didn't know, you were listening to Jeff Rosenstock of various billions of projects.
Billions.
Yeah. It reached billions today. I was watching a basketball game, and like somebody did some report, and they went, "This person needs no introduction because she introduces herself." And then it cut to her. She went, "Hi, I'm Sarah." And I was like, "That's weird."
She did it.
To have done that.
Yeah. Do you want to introduce yourself now? Then
Okay. Hi, I'm Jeff Rose.
You need no introduction, obviously.
Now I need no introduction because I introduced myself.
That was unnecessary. What are you drinking, Jeff?
Is this a video? Is this a video podcast?
It's not usually, also, but we'll probably take a
that
picture.
Rocks. Okay, that's fine.
No one needs my high school band.
I've done like a handful of podcasts where like I'm just like, oh, weeks later, like, oh, that was a video. Okay,
yeah, no one wants to look at us, so it's just,
hey, I'm right there with you.
What?
I'm drinking a Modern Times Star Cloud. Oh.
What kind of beer is that?
This is, it is a hazy IPA. Modern Times used to make a lot of hazy IPAs. It's got some Citra, Cashmere, Motueka. I don't know how to pronounce that word. I'm sorry. And Centennial hops. And it's got, for malts, two-row white wheat, flaked oats, and Carafoam. Are all those real?
Those are all real things. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So.
No lies.
Should I snuck one in there? I fucked up. I missed my chance.
Yeah, you could have. We can fix it in post. We'll put in like unicorn farts. We'll insert there.
Perfect.
I don't know that we get Modern Times in Massachusetts, but I could be lying because I don't. Matt says I'm lying. We did.
You are lying. We do.
But no.
You do get it, or yes, you don't.
We do get it.
We do get it. But I have not gotten
it. It's good.
A coffee stout is the one
I think it's
really
like the... The coffee stout. I feel like I could drink like a coffee stout and then that's it. You know, I guess at the time that I'm drinking beers is not the time I want to be drinking coffee. Do you feel like it gets you all hyped? It gets you all caffeinated or not really? It
gives you a little buzz. I mean, so we make a beer that I don't think we call it like this anymore, but we used to put it in like a breakfast stout category. And you know, Founders makes a beer called Breakfast Stout. And like, there's this conversation like, this is all the things you can have for breakfast in like an 8% stout. And you're like, yeah, but like, it's also an 8% stout. So,
yeah, but I mean, what's a mimosa, right?
That's factual. Yeah, that's true.
You have that with breakfast.
Yeah, but a mimosa also isn't like jacked with caffeine. It's just,
It was the flaw of the mimosa, I think.
Caffeinated mimosas. That is something we are going to invent.
It's got to be happening somewhere. I remember watching that, was that Beer Wars, that movie a long time ago. I'm sure you have both seen it, right? It was on Netflix. It was like one of the first things you could stream on Netflix, I think. And the person from Sam Adams was like, I'm going to branch off and make caffeinated beer. It's going to change the world. Yeah. Did you have it out there?
We did.
Never saw it in New York.
It was, I don't know if flash in the pan is the right phrase. So this was this woman Rhonda, and she was like a really early luminary in craft beer, and she was an early female leader woman who was like badass and out there. And I don't know that the world is ready for moonshot. And then like,
is she still like making beers?
I don't know the answer to that, honestly, because moonshot ended up being a problem when Four Loko came out. So did you ever get a chance to have Four Loko with caffeine, the original?
Sure. Yeah,
Four Loko classic.
The day that like Sparks and Four Loko started softening up their formulas.
Right. That was the day.
We're weird because they got you just as sick, I feel like, after they got rid of the caffeine.
That's correct.
The sugar content for pure hangover was still there. But you weren't able to stay up longer to, like, you know, get that hangover out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bomb the Music Industry was a big, like, Sparks band and occasionally a Four Loko band.
I don't want to speak. I just want to say that, like, listening to Bomb the Music Industry and the level of intensity, and I think you could hear some of that Four Loko and Sparks intensity in some of those.
If you saw us live, I'm sure you could tell that we had been drinking a lot of things.
I never got a chance to see you live.
Oh, just kidding. Then we were really, really good.
Yeah, professional.
Really professional. We're good. We're not professional.
Was there a good beer that you recall that kind of got you into drinking hazy beer and good beer and spending money on fancy beer?
It was the thing that got me into fancy beers was I worked at the Brooklyn Brew Shop, who is they're a company that makes homebrew beer kits. And a friend of mine, I just needed part-time work in between tours and stuff like that. And a friend of mine got me a job there, and they're both like they're really nice. Steven and Erica, who run it, they're just like a couple who ran this thing out of their apartment and then moved it up to a warehouse and then ended up moving to like somewhere bigger. Like I saw like a Brooklyn Brew Shop kit in JFK, and I was like, oh shit, they're like they got this out there. So bagging up hops and stuff like that, and like all day long just kind of got me into the aromas, I guess. And then we would just drink fancy beers every now and then because we're tasting them to see what's up. And then at a certain point I was like, oh, now this is just now, like when I go back to like ultra shitty beer, like it just kind of has this like that like twinge that makes me immediately hungover. I think it was like around the time that I was just like also drinking a ton of shitty beer, so like, you know what I mean? I feel like I was like, oh, these are, and also at that time, I don't think it was that expensive. Like it was like not the price of like fucking Milwaukee's Best or anything like that. But it was like the price of like, you know, Sierra Nevada or like a Blue Moon or anything. You get IPAs. I was like, oh, this just has like more alcohol in it. Why wouldn't I just drink this? Instead,
I actually went to college with Steven, which is funny that you mention him.
No fucking shit.
I went to BU, and that's also how I came across Bomb the Music Industry from my friend Tom, who's from Long Island. And I grew up in Boston listening to Big D and the Kids Table and Kicked in the Head, and that was kind of my
sick.
You know, when I was a teenager, what was important to me.
So we must have been at the same shows at some point.
It's highly, highly possible, if not probable. And and so I remember going to college and then...
Damn, almost an upgrade to probable.
Almost. We're almost there.
It's almost there. Right. We're 49%.
Okay. Fair.
And then I remember, if I fast forward to like 2015, when, you know, the hunger you have in college for discovering new music is kind of waned. And I think I put a lot of trust in, let's say cool music publications. This guy, Jeff Rosenstock's name comes across my screen. I listen to this and like, this sounds really familiar. This is like that guy, that kid I went to college with, like Love Bomb the Music Industry. This is that dude. And somewhere around that time, I was like, I think I suppressed the fact that I grew up listening to ska punk and love ska punk. And I don't know why I was made to think that was uncool.
It almost feels like that period of time didn't exist now, because there is such like a love for ska in as far as like critical acceptance goes. It just like people on the internet, everyone's like, hey man, everything's cool now. But it did really feel like there was a decade there that like, or if not more, or like if you were openly like, I like ska, I like ska punk, people were like, fuck you, you're lame, your band's lame, all your shit is lame, check out this shit. And it's like Modest Mouse basically playing ska.
I mean, you know, Real Big Fish really pushed it to the point where people were like, we're getting a little sick of this ska shit. And I feel like, you know, ska was still shots really fired. Good. Damn. But it became this sort of like, you know, cultural rejection of, you know, ska is so diverse, but like people are just like, everyone who doesn't know ska but grew up in the early 2000s is like, oh, Real Big Fish, they're fucking stupid. Sell out. I saw it on MTV. It's corny as shit. It's like, that's not the whole thing.
Dude, I bet they all fucking love Sell Out is the thing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's that hard song not is to great, love that. But I mean...
No, I feel you. I understand what you mean. It's weird. It's a genre that is just like judged by its worst bands and only its worst bands.
Sure.
And every fucking style of music has a ton of bad bands to it. That's not exclusive to ska. There's plenty of bad bands out there, everybody. Don't worry.
I feel like there is a certain, like, you know, like the first Interpol record, right? Like, I remember around the time that I was like ska shaming myself and listening to music that I thought I was supposed to like. Mm-hmm. If you look at that and like how kind of serious and dubstep.
I've never heard that first
Interpol record. You don't need to. You've heard, I assume you come across Joy Division in time. You can
probably substitute
that. Yes.
I've heard a lot of music. Interpol just like, I had no need to check it out, and then it was done.
Yeah, and they might still be a band. I don't want to talk shit about Interpol.
I'm certain they're still a band.
I saw them.
I mean, like that wave was just like, you know, the unavoidable part of it was over. I was like, okay.
The self seriousness though, and the fact that it seemed like bands like Real Big Fish just like actively did not take themselves seriously. I feel like that just threatened the cool thing. For a second, it's like you can't be cool and also be like making fun of yourself and like being goofy at the same time. I don't know.
I was on a podcast with my friend Benny called Going Off Track, and Noelle Wells, who was on first season of Master of None, is the voice of Kelsey on Craig of the Creek, and made a really, really great movie called Mr. Roosevelt. We were talking about comedies, and how out of nowhere, comedy is all of a sudden became like this unrespected style of movie, because like it was just like considered like you couldn't make it deep or it couldn't affect you just because it was also like fun and funny. And I feel like it's interesting that like as critical thinkers we've started to, there was a period there where it was like ignoring joy and being like, if something causes joy for you, it's no longer artistically valid. Which is just like, that's some fucking music critic shit. That's not how anybody really feels, you know? That's how people are just, you know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah, everybody watched all those Will Ferrell movies.
Argument, because Eric Carle just passed, and he apparently was arguing with his publisher because the hungry caterpillar goes and eats a bunch of stuff, and his publisher is like, he must be nauseous after he eats all that stuff. And Eric Carle was like, no, he just wants to eat stuff, and then he becomes something else, like, he doesn't need to like suffer a repercussion of like following a good thing and following an instinct to like eat. Jeff, you were just asking me about what I do and what we do at Jack Sebi and Springdale. And one of the things we have tried to do in the last year is figure out new fun ways to do what we do when we can't like invite people into our space. So one of the things that Matt and I did was start this podcast, which originally was supposed to be when you're in tour and in Boston, come visit our brewery, hang out, have a beer, and we talk. So we started doing it via the internet, as we are here now in it. And we also started like collaborating with musicians, local and otherwise. So we have some friends locally that we started collaborating with, and then we hit you up and you were like, I've always wanted to make a beer.
Yeah, so, it's true.
The next time we do this, we should have you actually make the beer and do the work.
That would be like... Okay, when you say all of it, how, like
some of it. I mean,
make all of the beer that gets out there.
Yeah, we're gonna give you the keys for the day. Whatever's on the schedule.
Okay,
you're just gonna plow through.
I'm not like an expert at making beer, but I feel like it one day isn't gonna cut it.
No, you worked at Brooklyn Brew Shop. You should know all of
how to make a beer in a day.
Yep,
I think it's got to sit there. What's it called?
Fermenting?
Lamentation? No.
Lamentation. The lamentation of the beers.
Yeah, yeah, the lamentation, right?
Over all the things it's done wrong.
Lament, levitate.
Look, I was putting tubes in a bag and sending it to people a lot of the time.
Yeah, you know, though, when people ask about getting into beer, even just getting more beer knowledge, one of the best things people can do is homebrew, but not even necessarily for the act of homebrewing, but it's like touch the raw ingredients and smell and taste them and understand because you can like train your mind to be like, oh, that fruity flavor, that's hop. Like, and now I can recognize that in a beer and like and appreciate it.
I feel you. I think that like before I worked there, when I would taste like a super hoppy beer, I'd be like, oh, what is that? But then just being around it and understanding like, ooh, this is good. And then like the malts and just like kind of chomping on a little pinch of malt every now and then because it's fun to do. Yeah, you just like, you know what's in there. And then crappy beers, I was like, uh-oh, I don't know what's in here at all. Oh, I'm scared.
Yeah, what's in there is cold. That's the secret of those beers. If you drink them cold enough, you don't taste them.
That's true. Drink them cold, drink them fast, and they're tasty. Also, I should be clear that I like shitty beer also.
Oh, we do as
I'm
well.
Cool. I like very shitty beers. I'm not old.
But we're like we've had plenty. I don't know. This is like our 15th or 16th episode that we've done this year. Actually, not this year, ever. So whatever. And we usually go to people and we're like, give us a beer that you have a story about or something you can relate to. And so we've drank some interesting, definitely not craft beers. Your friend Mike Park wanted us to find Steel Reserve, which we could
King
not
Cobra.
Find. King Cobra. Well, we couldn't find either of those things.
Oh, really?
We drank Miller High Life instead, and we talked about malt liquor. It's not the same.
That's some podcast shit to drink Miller High Life and talk about malt liquor.
Just in the funny thing is, we brewed a malt liquor as a test batch like a couple days later. It's like we were so close.
What was it like?
Well,
why is there not craft malt liquor?
Well, that is a fair question. I think so. To answer your first, what was it like? I was going to a New England Revolution game and I could not tailgate with my friends. So I got there late and I drank this beer really fast walking in. I was like, it's like I drank four beers because I was moving and I drank one 9% beer that was 16 ounces. And I got in there and I was like, I should not have any more beers. But then of course you do because that's how it is.
So it was good.
Yeah, it was definitely effective. It's a delivery of an experience and a feeling more than it is a flavor. Sure. And I think that's more or less one of the reasons it's hard to do. There have been, like, I don't know if attempts is the right word, but like breweries that have done like Imperial Pilsners, which, I mean, what's the difference? It's if you take a Pilsner and make it more.
Matt knows the difference.
Oh, do tell, Matt.
Well, I was going to say, Dogfish Head made a craft malt liquor 40, you know, 15 years ago or something.
That's true.
I remember because I had to go to Marty's in Newton when I lived in Somerville without a car. Because I wanted to go buy one, and they were $8, and I was fucking outraged.
That's outrageous. But also now to think of like a 40 of craft anything for $8 seems pretty good. But also like malt liquor is also cheap. I feel like it's not the same thing if you're paying $8 for a 40.
No, I think you can make the argument that the craft component of it that you're paying for kind of negates the point of the 40. I think.
It's like getting a craft McNugget. It's like
that's exactly what it is.
I don't really want these things. If I saw a craft 40 of malt liquor, I'd buy it one time because it was funny and then be like, okay, let's move on.
That's exactly right. So we made this beer. It's actually, by the way, is delicious. I was embarrassed to say that this is the first time I've had it, but I think it's appropriate to put it on the pod with you. That the first time we get to actually try it is here.
Okay.
And it's just because we only get to go to the brewery like once or twice nowadays, and we do everything else remotely. So
it was canned 2 days ago. So
yeah.
Damn, that's fresh.
It is super fresh, and it again is in transit to
somebody's driving it.
Someone's driving it to yourself and to the members of your band, which will
that's
be
cool.
Really
we're all really really excited about it.
We're excited for you guys to have it. I mean, like I said, we like in an ideal world, we'd have all had you at the brewery and we'd have done something fun together, but it was cool to talk about what you liked. It definitely has like a fruity mango component that is really bright and really fun.
Oh,
really, really exciting. So I'm excited for you to try it.
Me too. Yeah.
Can we talk about Craig of the Creek and all the things you're involved in? And all, I mean, like all the, as Matt said, billions of projects.
Off limits. We send you a list.
I told you, it's Antarctica Vespucci or nothing for me. So
still, No, yeah, of course. Let's talk about it.
Just tell me about Chris. I mean, let's forget you. No.
Chris is good. Chris just put up that painting of him cheating on his wife with a green M&M, and it's like the funniest thing. He picture messaged that to me, and I lost my mind. I couldn't believe it. He's already like the funniest person I know, and finds new ways to like surprise me with how fucking funny he is.
I mean, do you blame him? The green M&M. I mean,
it seems
she's gotten sexier over the years. Okay, I mean,
that painting. She knows, you know, she's doing the wrong thing. He knows he's doing the wrong thing too, but you can't fight it. Lust is too loud.
You gotta chase the feeling.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, actually, so we've talked to a lot of folks that have taken the like pandemic year and done a lot of online stuff, and you definitely done online stuff. But I also, one of the things I thought was interesting was that you said that, you know, Sky Dream was initially pitched to you as like, oh, we'll just do like a live stream, but like of this record, but ska. And
yeah,
that turned into you doing a record remotely. Have you ever done a record in that way, like collaborating across the country in that?
No, fashion? No, all of people mail me, like email me parts and stuff like that. And especially that happens with the records that we make sometimes, because of just time constraints, like post we made in like, we like recorded and mixed in 7 days or something and then just put it out like as quickly as possible. So for that kind of shit, like Lori and Chris had to record their parts at home. And, you know, if we're recording in California, people who don't live there are going to record at home. So I've done that, but never like a full record that way. And I don't think it's a better way to make a record. Turns out I'm stoked about that record, but oh my God, I did not like take into account that it was just going to take like, you know, 20 to 30 minutes extra for every single instrument. Every time we're like changing things and like, cause we didn't just like go like, okay, here it is, we're done, I sent you my thing. Like, we talked about it and we like fine tuned things. We tried to make it a good record. So there's a lot of just like upload and download time and like file sorting time, file management time, which is like, that's not like what you're trying to do when you're making a record. You're trying to just like ride, you know, the moment, staying the vibe, you know?
Right. I mean, there's definitely some artists in the world who are in it for the live experience, and some of it, some people are in for the recording experience, probably not many in for the file sharing and management experience. Like, that's why you get into this.
Yeah, well, maybe there's someone out there. I mean, Postal Service. I don't know. You know, there must have been a way where we could have just had it online somewhere and everybody could record their part into a song. But I guess it's not the case because, like, we're not all in the same operating system. We're not all in the same DAW. We're all using different shit. I don't know. It should be
easier. Somebody still uses Linux.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all of us. Yeah.
It must have been a little easier, at least, because they were like pre-existing songs. So you're like, no, roughly the structure. So you're like, well, yeah. I can piece these together at least.
Yeah, for sure. That part of it, I mean, that rocked.
I can't imagine trying to make
not having to write lyrics was nice. I did 2020 Dump, and that was really fun. But after that, it was just like, damn. Like, I feel like I squoze out every bit of like things that words I felt like saying throughout the pandemic at that point. It was just like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. I got nothing to like think about except like, well, better wake up and work for like fucking 12 hours on this show again, go to bed. All right. You know, that's not particularly interesting.
Right. What has working in the show been like for you? Is that something
it's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was something like, I'm sorry, I interrupted your question.
No, you saved me from not asking a good question by just talking.
What's Craig and the Creek like?
What's it about?
Okay, it's about Craig. It's about a creek. He's got friends. His friends have friends. They have parents. They're all out there, and they're doing it.
They're just like me.
Yeah. it's the best. Like, I feel really lucky I am doing that. I feel like... it's really rare. Like, it's rare to just get a gig making music where it doesn't involve traveling. It doesn't involve selling something or it doesn't involve like doing something for like an advertisement. Sure. And this is none of that. And then on top of that, it's a show that I just really, really like. I think it's a really good show. It's really funny. Like the art is beautiful and like really like out there, really like pushes the boundary. Like when I get some of the things in that I look at, I'm just like, oh shit, they just went full anime on this. Okay, now it looks like a different show. Like it's always really funny and looks really cool. And it's cool to like be able to make music for it. Yeah, it's
right. And you're indoctrinating another generation with secret ska.
That's kind of I wonder if Ben, who's one of the creators, if that was like also his plan in like hiring me and telling me like, hey, so we're thinking of like putting ska in here, and I'm like, okay, let's go. I'm definitely thinking about that. I'm like, I want somebody to hear their first blast beat on Craig the Creek. I want somebody to like grow up and in like 5 years be like, no, ska's not bad. I grew up with it. It was on this cartoon. And I think there's a lot of ska in cartoons also. So I understand that that's not a unique thing, but also a lot of ska in cartoons is like fucking bullshit music. And I was trying to not make bullshit music, and I don't know if I'm firing shots at composers here, and I'm sorry. Cause I also understand, I don't know what I'm doing, but like, I know that like, I don't know, cartoon ska that I hear, I'm like, this is whack. This doesn't have that energy, you know?
That energy is how, I don't know, it's how I fell in love with the music.
Right?
That was the whole point. Watching like Gary from Kicked in the Head scream, but also have a trombone. So sometimes be playing trombone.
And to also like be on the other side of the room. You're like, what the hell is happening here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the show Craig of the Creek like has that energy to it all the time. Like it's all like, like there's a lot of like yelling and freaking out and just like kids running around. It's fucking crazy. And I think that the music for it, that the ska vibe of it and the punk vibe of it like matches that in a way that I hope is good. I must also say, I don't know. I got nothing. I don't want to be like, yo, I'm so smart. I thought of doing this. Like it was Ben's idea to do it, to do that style. I just am doing it.
I mean, the Aquabats had their kids show, so...
Oh, you know, God, just... Yo Gabba Gabba? Remember exactly. That period of time where all of us adults were, like, watching Yo Gabba Gabba, just like, I know there's a kids show, but I also know the Aquabats made this show, so I gotta support ska.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember that and Pancake Mountain were the two where it's like, all right, so these are kids shows, but they're made by adults and musicians I like, so I have to peep.
I don't know if I ever saw Pancake Mountain.
Same.
That was a bunch of DC punk people doing it. So it was like on DC Public Access.
Was that the puppet show?
There was some puppetry involved, I believe.
I have seen Pancake Mountain. Yep. I've maybe been on Pancake Mountain.
Oh, being
it's
on
possible.
It.
It's possible. I think I might have been on it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's great to indoctrinate our children into ska. And I think it's great that it seems like you snuck in the back door with making serious records.
Yeah.
And then the critics had to be like, well, he also made these other records that don't appear to be serious records. It appeared to also be good records.
Yeah. I mean, you know, write some sad lyrics and then. There you go. Just tell the truth about how fucked up everything is, and it seems serious, I guess, because it is serious.
It is.
Yeah. Let's be honest. We're in a fucking serious situation.
Yeah, I believe you said it today, like, because we live in a society where we have to have food banks to support segments of our population that don't have access, reliable access to nutrition. And so it's cool we can do that, but it sucks that we're in that situation.
There's people who just straight up don't fucking have food. We won't, like, this is the only way to do it, but we won't really help anybody, like, get out of the situation. But then also, Jeff Bezos is getting, like, a $10 billion bailout because his fucking space program failed. Like, fuck that. Pay the fucking $10 billion. We all know exactly how many billions of dollars you have. We, like... look at it on the internet every day and it's like this giant pile of rice and then there's a grain of rice and people are like, and this is the amount you make, and we all go, oh fuck, like like I don't know, I think just everybody's been hoodwinked into believing that capitalism is the way that it has to be.
Yeah,
It's fucking crazy to me.
Are we turning down this road? Because
we don't need to. We can back up.
I mean, I'm fine with it.
I'm not trying to. It's been nice that, like, I feel like throughout the pandemic in particular.
DSA card. I'm ready to go. Let's talk.
I've seen just like more people who are also anti-capitalist and being loud about it. And that's nice for me because I feel like that's been like my little point of view that people have been like, oh, that's cute. He doesn't like money for a while. So I don't know. It's nice to see that, like, I don't know. I feel like we're getting our numbers up. It's nice.
Yeah.
It, I mean, you know, took a couple 100,000 deaths just for people to be like, maybe everyone should have health care.
I think.
I'm not sure we're there yet.
No. Yeah, no, we're still not there. The ball is rolling, I hope, for some people.
Do you think, or do you, I feel like to me, people are just not even like connecting the pandemic to any of those, any like healthcare problems. Like, no, it's a different thing. Vaccine's free. So it's not really healthcare. It's like, no, that's like the thing we want you to have all the time. It's like, imagine if you were like sick with something else, not COVID, and you could just go get the thing and it was free. It's like, no, don't want to do it.
Yeah. I don't.
Sorry.
Insurance company.
I love my insurance company. Well, this is a rude question. Is one of you the owner of a? No. Okay. So some, but you get health insurance. Yes.
We do.
Okay. I think that just I'm in a unique position to understand those. Not understand. I understand it more. That's not what I mean. But like when you're a contractor, when you're a musician, or when you're a freelancer, like, you really feel how fucking shitty that like trying to get it on your own is, and like throwing all this money in and then being like, okay, and I still have to pay this deductible if like I'm just paying money to pay more and more money. And it's why GoFundMe seems like the most viable option. It's like, okay, well, if something fucked up happens, then I guess that's my only way. Yeah, it's weird when you, but I think that like having healthcare, whatever. Do you want me to keep going down this road? I'm ready to pump the brakes here.
No, we're
okay.
Having healthcare ties you to having an employer, and yes, you fear for your life if you don't like have this very specific kind of job where you work for somebody who makes a shit ton more than you, because you're like, oh, this person gives me healthcare, I have no other choice. And then when the debate of healthcare comes up, I don't think that that's what people think, because we're just so conditioned to think that like that's just a normal way it should be. It's just like, oh, but I like my healthcare that I get through my job. I don't want to not have that anymore. It's like, not fool. You'd be free.
I don't know
you wouldn't
anybody
have that
thinks
anymore.
That though. I don't think anybody goes like, oh, my particular health. It's just, if I had fucking healthcare, I'd be fucking happy. That should be the simple answer.
Yeah. Right.
I think there's also something here where healthcare suppresses wages, because you're like, you have this benign God deciding that you should get healthcare, and then you know whatever's left over is what you can take home and eat.
Exactly, because it's like you are still paying for that healthcare. You are not getting paid that much because it's going to healthcare. So fucking get your head out of your ass. It's free healthcare time. Let's
also
go.
Like, how many people don't go out and try to make music or open a fucking store or do something they like because they're like, well, I can't quit my job. I have to keep my health care.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like, it's a garbage argument.
It ties you to it.
A guy that's been really vocal about, and I haven't always agreed with him, but Killer Mike has been very vocal about like what compassionate capitalism could be. And I don't necessarily believe him 100%. But I know that like
you don't have to believe anybody 100%.
No,
it's okay. It's cool when somebody just kind of like lines up with it a little bit. You're like, okay, it's a start.
Yeah, I guess what I want to look at that and say, like, you know, we work for capitalists. We are capitalists by doing so. We're selling beer to people. Yeah, if we can
by
carve
existing,
out, yeah, like we can carve out time and space to try to do something that's more interesting than just like trying to sell the most of a thing. I feel like it makes it kind of worthwhile.
You can try to carve out that time, but it always ends up coming back to trying to sell the most of a thing.
It's fair.
It's how it works, because it's a system. Anyway, sorry.
No,
Craig of the Creek, Cartoon Network now. Cartoon Network, owned by Warner Brothers, owned by AT&T, I think.
What is the bomb the music industry song where you list all of the things that are hypocritical about?
What, all like the court? Yeah, all the shit. I mean, I'm, you know, I talk all this shit, but I'm complicit. Like, I'm not living off the grid somewhere.
Well, this
the
is
the difference between participating in a system and wanting it to change and being complicit, though. I don't like that terminology, because if you care enough to try to change it, then that is important.
Okay. I'm being a little hard on myself. Sorry about that.
Yeah, and you're also out there like making music and getting it to people in an accessible way. Like, you don't have to spend a bunch of money to listen to your music. I think you can spend no money listening to your music.
You can spend no money. Polyvinyl, Side One Dummy, Asian Man, all those record labels, bless them. They're just like, maybe I got asked one time, like, do you really have to do this? And I went, yep. And they all went, okay. And it's still all free on the internet. And it doesn't matter because everybody's Spotify now, I guess, huh?
But is that, you know, going back to Bond music industry days and before, has that always been something that's been, you know, that is a core tenet of Jeff Rosenstock? Like, you're going to give your music away, and like, yeah, if you want to sell things, that's fine. But like, it's going to be free.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think, like, I always kind of felt that way throughout ASOB, and I didn't really know how to do it. And then when I was just like making songs on my own as Bomb, it worked, you know? And so I just kept doing it. And I remembered at some point along the way, I read an interview with Regina Spektor where she was talking about how museums should be free, because everybody should be able to look at art, because art is something that should resonate with poor people, with rich people, with all people. Like, that's what it's there for. So why are you denying somebody that because they don't have money? Like, art is especially there for people who don't have money. You know what I mean? Because you can't go like fucking buy a car, like buy like a like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a fancy car, of like Mercedes. So buy a Mercedes, or like, you know, go parasailing or something, you know, or just like fuck off with your money. Like, I don't know. I think that it should all be free. And I know that kind of goes at odds with the ability to like make a career doing it. I was never aiming to make a career doing it. It just kind of happened that way. I just kind of always figured I'd have a job and then also do that. And the job would be the way I make my money. And the music would be the thing that I do because I feel compelled to make music. So I just, like, as it became more of a thing that it seemed like I could do for a career, and I had to like confront, like, well, I guess that would be cool to do, which is a weird thing that I don't think anybody else who would be in my situation would do, because everybody else is sane. Like, I was just like, yeah, it's got to keep being free, like try and stick to the things to like continue to like keep it grounded to the reason why I'm doing this in the first place. Because as like, you know, hip sites or whatever, as I've been sneaking in the back door with the solo project kind of thing, like, it could be easy to just kind of like forget all that. And I don't want to, because I don't want to forget that. I like that stuff. That's what I like about music that I like, you know? So I don't want to do some shit that I wouldn't like if I was a fan of the band. Sorry for the ramble.
Sorry, I think it just, that does a good job of like creating loyalty towards you. Like, I know the first time I heard Bomb was in somebody's car driving in like, you know, Northampton up at the beach, and he's like, this guy gives away his music for free, and like it's on like the shitty, you know, iPod that wasn't a phone. What a world. And just like the first time hearing it, like, oh, you can get this for free, like, that's fucking awesome. And it's cool. Such a, like, I think it tied a lot of people, like my age especially, like, to you as like someone that gave a shit.
Aw, that's nice. That's nice to hear. It was cool when, like, quote unquote, seemed to be doing that when we would like go on tour, not necessarily with Bomb, because like obviously if we're at Bomb shows, you assume that a handful of people there have heard of the band. But like, I remember people talking about really liking Cheeky. and because they found it, unquote unquote. And I was just like, that's cool. So it was just free. It's this band from Brooklyn that I really liked, and I put on this thing for free. And now like a bunch of people in Cincinnati are like, this record is cool. And I thought that, like, I don't know. It's neat. I think that it's neat that people were able to find it that way. And it's cool that people can find all music that way pretty much now. It's nice. I don't like the way the paradigm has shifted. It seems like there was a chance for like musicians to kind of control it. And they started just suing everybody who used Napster. And then that was it. And then they figured out a way to like make a big corporation control it. I don't like that part of it, but it's pretty sick that like everybody just has access to music now. Like even if it's on YouTube for free with an ad before it, like everybody can listen to whatever song they want to listen to. That's neat.
Yeah, I wonder what it's going to do for like 20 years from now, what that generation, like Matt is expecting his first trial in September. I wonder what that child, how they're going to like experience the world of music. Are they going to like think of albums the way we think of albums because we're of a certain age and we think of things as like sets of songs and tens or twelves?
I think that that's just like shit that people fucking write, man. Like, I don't think that that's real because like you, like, I don't know. I think that singles are more like the pop music thing right now, but that doesn't mean that there aren't people who want to get like sucked into like a thing for a little bit. It's like acting like somebody doesn't want to watch a movie anymore because series are good, you know, like It all could still exist. I think maybe it might be just more like music nerds and weirdos who want to like get totally sucked in on something. But then also like think about like Kendrick Lamar, super fucking popular. All of his records are like albums, you know? Yep. So there still is, you could still do it. It's just it's just the whole thing's got to be good. I think for a while, people were not making complete good albums in like the 80s and 90s when we were coming up, you know?
Yeah, that's what was just like following the form. Like, well, I got to have 10 songs to 15 songs. So that's how many songs you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Going to have three singles, going to have a bunch of clunkers. Fuck you. Give me 1898.
Yeah, when people like wanted to fill out a compact, you know, a CD, compact disc with the 74 minutes, like it doesn't need to be that long. It doesn't. Just 35 minutes is perfect.
Well, what about the enhanced features of the CD? Speaking of Real Big Fish, they had an enhanced CD that I own.
Keep your receipt, right?
Yes.
I didn't have that one. Okay.
What was the enhanced feature?
I think there were videos. I remember watching it on like my like big gateway computer, popping that thing in, and then you could watch a video that you could, you could watch a video that you could watch on MTV, but you wouldn't be able to know when it's on MTV. At any time that I wanted to watch this video, I could go to my parents' room, log into the computer, put it in there and look at it. So that was,
imagine being able to do that in 2021. You can't do that.
Can't do it.
Nope. No way.
Nope. I guess because we typically do this, especially with folks that we're fans of, we will like digress heavily into music and to geekery because that's what we do.
Yeah.
But considering your beer background, knowing that about Brooklyn Brew Shop, I'm curious if you have any other like favorite styles or favorite like beers that you seek out or something you see that like really like brings you into the beer world now and again.
I think thinking about Brooklyn Brew Shop, even though I haven't had it in the longest time, I really like this beer called Pork Slap.
Butternut.
I feel like that was like the first like nice beer that I had. I was like, oh, this is pretty good. This rules. That just makes me think of that. That's what Brooklyn Brew Shop makes me think of. That was like the fancy beer we would get every time.
You remember that can?
Yeah, with the two pigs high-fiving, right?
Yeah, two pigs high-fiving, pink background.
Uh-huh.
But matte pink too. And like oval logo in the center. Just very like drawing from 70s, like classic old beer iconography with like, I think they might have been like belly slapping while they were high-fiving. Like,
Oh God, it was good. I loved it. Yeah. I like Triple Carmelite, which is a Belgian beer.
Bastilles.
What?
That's the Bastille's Brewery. That was one of my like early very favorite beers.
Oh, cool.
And they ended up being one of the breweries that were acquired by Anheuser-Busch when they were like Oh, like people like good beers. Like, well, we're gonna have these beers. So
was that recently? Because I feel like it was hard to get, and now it's everywhere.
It was in the last couple of years. I remember I was in Belgium on a beer trip, and they were very recently acquired. So that was probably like 6 or 7 years ago. But they make that. I mean, that Triple Carmelie is that's a delicious, yeah, excellent beer. So
it's nice. It's funny that when you're in Belgium, you just get all these like for Ryder beers for our band in Belgium. It's just always like super, super nice beers. You get cheap beer at the store, it's really nice. You get cheap beer at the bar, it's like a really great beer. They give you a little dish with cubes of cheese with celery salt sprinkled on it. It's very nice. Belgium is nice, okay?
Pro Belgium. We are pro Belgium.
We're pro Belgium. Matt?
Yeah. Of course I'm pro Belgium. I was just making that face about cheese with celery salt on it. Just as like a, I didn't know that was a thing. And I'm like, I got cheese and I have cheese and celery salt in my house. And I'm like, I could do this.
Try
as soon
it now.
As this is over.
You could do it now.
You could.
I've already bailed on this once accidentally. So I'm just.
Yeah. There's a beer in Belgium called Degare that when you order it at this special pub, it like has a glass that has like a thing on the side of it that holds a little plate that like has cheese and meat. Like essentially, wow. You just get this thing and it's like you order a beer and you get cheese and meat and beer.
That's pretty.
That's
sick.
How they understand beer culture there. You need this.
Yeah, it's true. They understand it in Spain too, because you get all, they just keep bringing you food as you order more and more beers. The beers are fine, but like it's just free food nonstop. Europe's tight. And I'm trying to think of other beers. I'm trying to think of like, I feel like, what are y'all's feelings about juicy IPAs? Is that something, or is that just something people are saying is something so that you spend more money on a beer?
I think it's something. What do you think, Matt?
I mean, you know, you're drinking one, we made one. Hazy IPAs are kind of juicy IPAs.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. So the difference between a hazy and a juicy, where are you?
I think they're kind of one in the same.
Right.
They can be.
Yeah. I mean, unless you want to get into like milkshakes, which are just.
You're not into it.
I'm not into those.
They're great. They're a wild ride.
I would say that, you know, hazy is really specifically talking about what it looks like. Right. And so all juicies are typically hazy. Not all hazies are juicy, right? So
I feel like hazy, you're talking about like that it doesn't feel as thin when you're drinking it.
Is sure, that, I think that's part of it too.
Okay.
I think that like origin of the name wise, it came from like the beers literally not being what we call like a lager bright.
I mean, yeah.
Bright literally means like there aren't particulate floating in. You can, it's transparent. But how you use the hops kind of defines the juicy aspect of it. So when we were talking about making our beer, you were talking about mango. We think mango, we think juice, and Mosaic is one of the hops that brings mango flavors with it if you use it the right way. So we do a lot of
did you use it the right way?
We use it the right way.
Yes.
I should say our,
if you don't,
our
it tastes like green colors. Onion to me.
Right.
Oh no,
it doesn't taste like green onion though, does it? It's so it
just tastes
of,
like a pure red onion.
No, it doesn't taste like green onion now. So it was used correctly.
But it's a lot of using hops. Like, you know, when you were packaging up brew kits for a Brooklyn Brew Shop, like, you know, you package up hops, people, and like those are the ingredients of the beer, but it's not the process of the beer. The process comes to how you use those hops. And like using hops after the boil, during fermentation or post-fermentation give a lot of aromas, flavors, and juicy characteristics that you don't necessarily get if you use them earlier in the boil. So like that comes down to how much bitterness it imparts, bitterness can get in the way of juiciness. But yeah, juicy is definitely a thing. Okay. And some of these American hop varieties just taste, they just like remind you of juice that you had when you were a kid. I mean,
yeah, I guess so, huh?
Yeah. I don't know what is so we're not in the same place. But what are you tasting in the beer that you're drinking there?
In the beer that I'm drinking right now, yeah. I don't know. You know, I feel like a lot of hazy IPAs just kind of do a similar thing. It does taste juicy though; it's a little sweet, but it's not like sweet. It's a nice beer. Let me take a little sip. I mean, it's not. It's in a can, so you know, not I don't know. Am I supposed to be drinking it in a glass? I have like the top of a thing here. I shouldn't pour it in that. Should I? Okay, this will be fun. So this is what my coffee was sitting in. Pour it in the top of this lid here.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Okay, there's a...
That's how the brewer...
He's actually pouring it in a top hat. So he's pretending it's something else. But it's a magician's top hat. There's a lot of holes.
Okay.
Oh,
tastes kind of like coffee and
one of the more
I'm not sure. I can never fucking name and place flavors. I'm trying to dodge the question by doing a funny visual bit, which is
a bit. This is an audio medium, but we'll transcribe
include
it
drawings.
Yeah, it'll come, each download will come with a drawing spec sheet.
The art on the can is so good.
On the Modern Times. Or on ours. That's Katie. Our colleague Katie did a badass job. It is like melty.
I want to ask Katie how she got those drippy droops to animate in the videos that I saw. Like, ooh, that's cool.
It is super cool.
It was neat. I was like, I always dread artwork on things that like I am not in control of. That's why I do so much of the art on my own. And when I got that, I was like, oh shit. Katie just, this is it. Like, I don't have to even, there's no, I don't got to say shit. All right, great.
Funny side story about Katie is that she had no idea what ska music was until I introduced her to ska music. And she's just like, I like this so much. It's so happy. I just want to listen to this all day. Yeah. And I was like, I've converted somebody. Love this. This Wait, is what the was best. The,
how did you do it?
Yeah. What was the music?
Ooh, I don't. I think I probably made like a playlist of just a bunch of ska stuff,
such as.
Definitely Pizza Day by the Aquabats was on there because I used to play that every Friday when we were in the brewery because that was when we would all buy a bunch of pizzas and share them.
That sounds great.
Blasting Pizza Day and just be like, "All right, guys, because it's today. Let's go."
That's the hook right there. It's like you got her with Pizza Day, and so again, you were like. Seeding ska slowly and then
Pizza
like,
Day
is
such a good song. You like this fact that it's silly, just it doesn't matter. It's just so good. It's infectious.
It's got like tinges of like his like actual heartbreak of growing up and stuff. So like,
yeah,
you can connect to it even though it's right? goofy as fuck.
Ska baby. Oh god, I'm always talking about ska.
I know. As part of the preparation, I listened to you talking to Aaron in defense of ska about ska a lot. And I was
that's like one of the
only talk about ska.
Yeah, that's. I think I did like two interviews on Ska Dream because I was just like, nobody wants to hear me say the same thing about ska over and over and over and over again.
But his
I
book,
like it.
His book is really good.
His book's amazing.
You wrote the introduction to that book.
Yeah.
The forward. I don't know if that's
the forward. Yeah. He asked me to write it and I said no. And then he was like, and I was like, I don't know. I don't think I'm like the voice of ska, which is true. Like I like ska and I fly the flag or whatever, but like I haven't made a ska record besides Ska Dream, which is a covers record in like 10 years. And even the ones before that were like, not like my own band and stuff, like you know what I mean, like I was just like I don't know if I'm like, and then I read his book and I was like, oh shit, no, I can fuck with this, I want to do this, thanks for asking me to do this. I was just like energized. His book rules. Buy it. You can skip the forward. That's how modest I am. Don't read the forward and don't read the chapter about my band and it's still good because I'm modest.
That's In Defense of Ska by Aaron Kearns. And we'll drop that in the intro as well, because it was certainly research material and great reading.
Yeah.
So hoorah. Yeah, but like flying the, you say you don't have made a ska record, but you've been on a lot of ska records. Like you have the Bruce Lee band record, I think comes out like tomorrow-ish.
I realize it as I say that, like I've been in a ska band, the Bruce Lee band, for like the last 10 years of that. So like once Bomb put out Vacation, I guess I joined a ska band like a year later. So yeah. And yeah, Bruce Lee band Division of the Heartland comes out midnight tonight. It's really good.
Which means it's already out now when people get to listen to this. So
no, it's out at midnight. Everybody listening to this tonight at midnight.
Yeah. Yeah,
don't
wait
look before.
Stay up.
Stay up. Don't look. Don't check. Yeah.
And it actually features you singing in Korean, which I thought was really interesting. Good on you for attempting Korean.
Yeah, I figured I got Bruce Lee Band plays Korea a lot. Or I mean, we play Korea as much as we play anywhere, which is not that much. But if we tour, we'll usually play Japan, Korea, and California, and maybe Hawaii. It's a pretty sick band to be in. Mike said
he only wants to go to places he wants to go to. So that's where his band goes.
Yeah, it rules. It's sick to just be in like a chill ska band with two of like the people whose ska music I listened to growing up, and to be like one of the people in that band, to listen Bruce Lee Band, who I listened to growing up. It's crazy. I kind of just wanted my Korean friends to be able to make fun of me for singing Korean bad, because Mike's Korean lyrics, like once I found out like that his lyrics are very just like first phrases that you learn just like strung together. Like when I was a kid and I heard like Annyeong Haseyo, I was like, oh, he must be talking about like important shit. I didn't know he was just saying like, hi, how are you? Who are you? What's happening? Like, I didn't understand. So it was fun to like be able to participate in that. It ruled. And Mike was telling me how to pronounce things. And that was just, it was just a funny time.
My mother-in-law is Korean. So I remember early on playing a Skanking Pickle song that he sings in Korean. I have gotten to the point where I can recognize when something is Korean, and I know what Annyeong Haseyo means. I know how to ask for a beer and an iced coffee, cause I was there.
Nice.
And you have to be able to do that.
I don't think I know how to do that. I think I was just pointing still.
Mekju Chuseyo.
Mekju Chuseyo.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's probably not correct either. So
what do I know? Like we're always in Korea and Japan at the same time, and they're both such different languages that it all like blends into like which one is I'm sorry, where? Kamsahamnida, that's Korea, right? No?
No, I think that's Japan, because Kamsahamnida is, they're very close too. There are certain phrases that just kind of cross both. But
I know, when I'm in Korea, I'm mostly just going, Annyeong Haseyo, like just slurring it. Maybe it means everything. I'm a bad American.
You were also I don't know if you're a tall person. I'm a tall person.
I'm like not tall. Feet.
A white dude with a beard and a mustache. And so when I'm in Korea, and just one time, people were like, this guy is like, who is this guy? I'm like, hello.
I'm often there with Dan P, who is also, white dude. So they look at us and they're like, they've got each other. I guess I don't know.
That's Dan of MU330 for folks of my generation, I guess. That's
Dan of Death Rosenstock for folks of my generation.
Right. That's correct. That's right. I'm sorry.
No, MU330 is my favorite. They're my favorite.
That was a band that I had the Bazooka Joe style t-shirt when I was in high school.
Classic Scotty. Of course I remember that shirt.
I'm very sad that in my purge of my ska personality, that left my possession and now I'm stuck without it. But we can talk about it. We can all remember how the good shirt? I'd have looked. What a good shirt. And
it
a good
was
band.
A good shirt. A great band. Yeah. Good shirt. I can't believe I've forgotten all but that one phrase in Korean. I realized that right now in real time on this podcast. I was like digging through my beer and weed pandemic addled brain. Like, there's nothing more in there.
We haven't had to use it in a while. You know, we weren't able to go anywhere. So,
I'm pretty sure Chuseyo is like the polite way to be like, give me the thing I just said. So it's like noun Chuseyo. So it's like iced coffee Chuseyo. Like, so that's what I learned. And more or less, that's it.
I say that a lot in the song.
That's true. You do say that.
Chuseyo. Yeah. Another somewhere is like, motherfucker, I don't have any money in that song. Just like Mike rules. It's fun to be in a band with Mike Park.
We made him drink a beer in our podcast. I say made him.
He almost never does that.
I know.
He seemed like he was hating it, and then he opened a second one.
Yeah, that sounds 100%.
Yeah, he complained about it. And I'm like, well, you said yes to this, man. Like, we're just fans of yours, and we just, you know, we're like, our normal intro is like, do you like beer, and do you want to talk to us about beer? Because that's, you know, not everybody likes beer. We've had a lot of sober guests. We can talk to sober people too.
Yeah, it's possible. Everybody can have a podcast. That's I think true. Being sober fucking rocks. I think that like both things are good things, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like most of my friends in LA are like mostly sober people now too. So that's fine. That's cool. Mike is like he chooses sometimes. Like when we were working on Bruce Lee Band, we recorded vocals for it in his garage, and I was staying at his house when his family was mostly away, and he was going through some pain and would like, and he was like, let's smoke weed. I want to see if this fixes it. And so, and this is why I say like, his like, I don't drink beers. And then he like cracks the second beer. Like he was like, smoke a little bit of weed, drink an entire mason jar full of water, and then exhale the breath. And I'm just like, this is just like, I don't know why, like what you're doing this for, but it's really funny. And also like, that's kind of impressive for someone who never does that. And that's Mike. He used to do flips all the time, and he regrets it now. Like suicide flips on his back.
That's a band I wish I'd have seen, Skank and Pickle. And they played Skank Boston Pickle enough times that I could have done that. And I did.
Oh yeah, I feel like I didn't know. I got into Skank and Pickle when Green album came out, and then that was it. You know. Right.
What a good band. He was very gracious with us, and again, like Matt said, he drank a beer, even though he said he didn't want to drink a beer.
What kind of beer did he drink?
It was an IPA of some kind. So
nice.
Was it a green tea IPA?
Ooh,
might have been.
I think it was.
That sounds more like a health beverage.
It does. That's, you know, there's a lot of health beverages in our world now. There's a lot of just different kind of beverages. In fact, we usually end up having a little digression into now non-alcoholic beer or seltzer of the hard variety. So I don't know if you have any burning hard seltzer thoughts.
I can say that I got burning non-alcoholic beer thoughts, which is that they're good now. I had like a no beer month, and you know, every now and then that addiction comes scratching at your brain. Brooklyn has a beer called Special Effects, which is really, really good. It's a really good non-alcoholic beer. I had like some other one, I think it was, I don't remember the name of the brand. I'm sorry. But it was also like, there's good ones out there, which is cool. I feel for a while it was just O'Doul's and like, there's no reason to drink it. But like a Brooklyn Special Effects, that's kind of a nice tasting drink.
It is. And it's like, you know, if you care about the flavor of the thing you're drinking, that's really what, you know, why we do what we do, right? Like we're not out here trying to like compete on price with like, you can buy 30 of our beers cheaper than 30 of those guys' beers. We're like, we make a thing that tastes good when you taste it. So like,
are you saying that you price your beers high? Is that, that's like,
as craft brewers? Yeah. All craft brewers. That's just kind of the thing. One of our owners our owners are all like young dudes. They're the youngest brother that owns our brewery is, he must be 31 now, because I know they had to wait until he was 21 to open the brewery, and we're 10 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, he turned 31 in February.
So he,
happy birthday,
Sam.
Three months late.
No.
But he like had this like funny response to like sustainability in our industry. Cause it's like, if you want to be sustainable, like you got to do it on a large scale, economics of scale. So it's like, drink Budweiser if you really care that much about sustainability, because craft beers are all going to do it on the smaller scale. And it's all about like creating a flavor and interesting thing that nobody else can do. That's kind of the thing. I don't know. I think it's an interesting point.
There's at the same time, like, so one of my favorite, I guess, craft breweries, although I've never thought about it this way until we started having this conversation, is this place Keg and Lantern in Greenpoint. And they don't can any of their beers. They don't sell it. They have crowlers. If you go, it's just like, it was just near the place where we lived. And then one day they got new management and they started making beer in the basement, and they were making all these really, really good beers at this like bar that you could get food at, that we would like go and watch like a Knicks game or a Nets game at, you know? And they do like crowlers and stuff. I think doing growlers is good. I think just doing all that shit where you could like go and just get it from the tap, and like, you could drink it while you're there if that's what you want to do, or you could take it home if that's what you want to do. I think growlers in specific, not crowlers, but growlers, those are fucking sustainable. Or they were. Now you can't bring your growler back.
Yeah. Now no one.
Which
will
I don't understand because
like,
it's like when you wash it, it's good. There's all this fucking performative COVID shit that is just like, look, the things we have to do are already an adjustment. We don't have to do extra unnecessary adjustments.
I like, agree with you 100% on this.
Not being able to return your growler is unnecessary.
Most places would take mine and then give me a new one. So I'm like, you're sanitizing it already. Just
that's what they would
up
do.
The process.
Yeah, there's a place in LA called Block Party that's near where we live. Where like when everything, I remember one day I went there and they were like sanitizing growlers and giving us growlers and stuff. We're like, okay, cool. Then the next day we went there, they're like, yeah, we can't even pour beer anymore. We just got to do it in cans. And then the next time I went, it was like, we can't even like stay open right now. We're gonna close until this opens back up. It's just like. And now they're doing fine, and they're part of a great vegan fried chicken place called Wolfie's. I just want to let everybody know the story ends good. But it's weird. I'm just like, I don't – that's like – I don't know.
So
it just – a lot of waste is being created where it does not need to be created in the name of, like, being health conscious during the pandemic, in the name of, like, doing the right thing, where it's just like, there's no fucking reason to do this. Just stop it.
Yeah,
that part of it, that specific part of it. Wear a mask, get vaccinated. Do I sound do I sound like an anti-vaxxer, anti-masker
right now?
No, this is my concern.
No.
Okay, good.
You're expressing.
I believe it's real.
I think we're going back to the bureaucracy being a little useless at times, similar to shipping beer thing.
That's a harsh. How could you say that?
No, you know what it is. It's not necessarily even being. The bureaucracy being the issue, it's the fact that the way that the rules were enacted and have been communicated puts the onus not even on business owners, not always, like the people working at the business to be like, hi, welcome to this place. You have to like go, you know, touch the sanitizer and like you can't take your mask off until you sit down. And then in Massachusetts, you had to like keep your mask on unless you were actively eating for a while. So they were like expecting you to go up to people like, if you're not chewing or drinking, you need to like put it back on. Like we can't do this. This isn't, you know, it just was communicated in a way that would just put it on the shoulders of people trying to like make a living doing a thing where it's like,
the people getting paid the least basically
had
to like enact this shit until they got fired.
This is why there's a labor shortage, because people were like, wait, this is fucked up.
Yeah,
I don't wanna do that anymore.
Like, why would I go back to that? You won't even give me $15.
Tomorrow night, in the past for most people, but tomorrow night in Boston.
Tomorrow
night in the past.
Yep.
At midnight, as a restaurant owner was telling me today, all of the COVID restrictions that have existed disappear at midnight tomorrow. So at midnight tomorrow, they could just pull all of the like weird cubbies that they built at the bar. So you could sit at the bar in a little igloo. They could just shove a bunch of tables out. People can just like take masks off and never wear them again. Like,
we're going to see what happens.
We sure are. I mean, I'm not going to be at a bar at midnight tomorrow. Because, you know, wear a mask, get vaccinated, etc. but yeah, that's.
Yeah.
As quick as they turn it on, they're turning it off just as randomly and as quickly. So,
yeah, it's all just about. I mean, it's such a fucking shame because it's taking advantage of a situation to like show how much control and power they can have over you. And then people rebel in a way by being fucking stupid and hurting people. I don't know. It's a real clusterfuck when you try to think about it and articulate it. I feel like it all just comes out and you're just like, none of this makes sense. This can't, like, you know?
You got to shrug and you got to lean on things that.
And then I get to work on a cartoon and I'm like,
you get to work on a cartoon. You get to
this
drink
is nice.
Beer, you get
I
to
get
eat
to drink
a meal.
Yeah. And then I'm like, I'm fine. I don't know. You know?
Yeah. I think the thing we've all expressed here is we want everybody to be able to like do the thing that makes them happy and transport themselves either physically or by way of art and like, you know?
Yeah.
Just live a life and be able to breathe and take moments for themselves. That would be really cool.
Unless it actively hurts everybody else, or even if it actively hurts everybody else. I'm voting no. What about you?
No.
Wait, am I? Am I supposed to be pro hurting everybody? Well, I'm confused. Am I supposed to go murder people? Is Jeff Rosenstock telling me to go murder people?
I didn't not tell you to not murder people.
Right. Only if it makes you feel good.
Got it.
Dicey.
Okay.
If it makes you feel good, then it's okay. Yeah. I think
if it makes you feel good.
Yeah. Because the caterpillar gets to eat and not be nauseous and then just go about and become a butterfly.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what we learned.
I don't think caterpillars get nauseous. I think that publisher is fucking dumb.
Yeah. And now I have to go back and read this book because the thing I didn't get because it was a snippet of an article.
What did you do? It was on the teacups, and then also like was on a boat for a while on really choppy waves.
We're gonna perform some science before the next time we talk. We're gonna figure this the fuck out.
We're gonna try to feed a caterpillar and see if it yaks. That is the goal.
What it's a good plan?
They eat leaves, right?
Yeah.
I didn't read the book.
All right, fair.
I have that book somewhere in this house. So.
That's like East Coast literature, though. So I feel like you as an East Coaster should read it.
I said that as a bit, and I don't think I've read The Hungry Caterpillar. It's like a kid's book, I feel like, right?
Yeah, it's not a novel. It's not a novel, no.
Okay.
I still say I read a book every time I go through it, don't I?
Oh, yeah, I definitely read this book. Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's him.
That's him.
It's a hungry ass caterpillar.
Mm-hmm.
Very distinct Eric Carle artwork.
I have like one more real question for you.
Cool.
And it's about being from the East Coast but on the West Coast. Somebody explained to me recently that people from the East Coast are nice but not kind, and people from the West Coast are kind but not nice. Do you agree or disagree with this?
I kind of think it's the other way around.
So you think that we are kind on the East Coast, but yeah, not nice.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the stigma, and this might just be being a Long Islander and also someone who's lived in New York for a really long time. Like we talk so loud. And we're often like, especially in New York, like if somebody asks for directions, you'll be like, yeah, you go that way, and in four blocks you're gonna fucking see it. All right. And I think that could be construed is not necessarily the nicest way to say something, but we are often just like, yeah, I can help you. Here's the fastest way I can help you. Let's go, 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 go. You know? I don't know that I know that much about California, and I don't want to make a generalization. I don't feel like I can after living here a year and a half where like I can't really go anywhere, but I could see the vibe being more just like people are more soft-spoken here, more whatever, but like at the end of the day, you're not going to get helped with something if you need the help a lot of the time.
I think that's a lie.
I don't know if that's true.
I don't know either, because when I've gone out to the West Coast, it puts into relief the fact that I realize that I'm impatient and loud. And then I'm like, oh, I have to think about myself. But like, also when you ask people for stuff, they may just really kind like nicely say no.
Yeah.
In a, like, nice way where I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Is that really kindness? Like, is kindness somebody nicely saying no, or is kindness somebody being very aggravated and stressed out and being like, fine, I'll give it to you, and then throwing it at you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When we were talking it over, it was like, if you complained about being cold on the West Coast, they'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry you're cold. But in the East and the Northeast particularly, like, fucking just take my coat. Like, come on. Like, you're fine. Yeah. Like, here. Yeah. Now you're fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that that's a good litmus test of it. I feel like if you're cold in California, at least if you're me, I just can't. I can't say anything. I'm from New York. I don't get to be cold out here.
You're not allowed to be cold.
Oh, it's 60 degrees at night. Oh, I better get a hoodie. Like, I don't get to do that. I got to be like, I'm fine.
It's so much colder in Long Island in January. I can deal with this.
Yeah. Yeah. God, we were talking to a friend about like the snow squall in Brooklyn, which was like, have you ever experienced a snow squall?
Sure.
Really? Okay. This is the only one that ever came to New York. Like I didn't know, like basically if you haven't experienced this, it's like, it's beautiful out. And then you go to walk and then you do some stretches and go to walk out your front door to go running. And then you look outside, you're like, oh, it's really cloudy. And then it's a blizzard for like 15 minutes. And then it's really nice out again. I like that. you know, I was going through like snowstorms and snow squalls and all those kinds of things. I don't get to be cold out here because it's always colder on the East Coast. But also now my fucking shit's all fucked up and I think 60 degrees is cold.
Yeah. Do you have like, did you take your like East Coast winter coats with you to California?
What am I going to do with it? I mean, I still tour, you know?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to be one of the guys in my band, like Mike and Dan and Kevin, who are like, oh, I had to buy a winter coat for this band. And I'm just going to have this winter coat that I use just for when we go on tour, you know?
Or
it's going to be cool. I wonder what like cold is going to feel like. Because I really, moving here, I didn't think I wasn't going to leave California for a year and a half. Like I figured I'd be on tour and stuff. So I wonder if I'm just going to fucking crumble and freeze and crumble.
I would like you to come to Massachusetts, the Commonwealth. We're going to
come to Massachusetts.
Well,
Boston
we're
even.
Oh, that's where we live.
We'll see us.
Yeah, I'm excited. Do you know when this is happening?
Yeah, but I can't say
you can't
it.
Say it yet.
But I it's not announced yet. But I would guess if I were you and I wanted to see a band that you're talking about in Boston, I would say around Thanksgiving should be a time to set time aside.
Oh, that's good. Because I'm having my baby. Well, you know, my wife is having the baby. I'm not.
You're not doing that.
But that's like the first week of September. So I will be more than enough be able to like leave that baby and go.
Yeah, two and a half months. That baby's going to be fucking earning money for you at that point.
I hope so.
Be at the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's singing in my band, replacing me with a young new singer. Only 2.5 months old.
I mean, if it's got these pipes, you know.
Hey. Well. Those who have heard those pipes. Those are loud pipes though, Matt.
I do yell a lot. I mean, if you've been unfortunate enough to hear any of my bands, you know that I yell.
Very fortunate. That's exciting. So sometime in a future time, that's great. And it's gotta be what a weird time to like, you released a record, didn't tour it. Then you covered that record.
Yes.
Didn't tour it. Now like,
yes.
If one was to go see this band, which versions of the song
is it going to be a mix of both?
My instinct is that it's just going to be No Dream, and we're going to have Ska Dream nights occasionally, like in cities where we're playing more than one show, which Boston might be one of. But I don't know if that instinct is right. I really got to have a good think about it. I didn't think that. I didn't think anybody was gonna fucking care about Ska Dream, so I gotta think about it. It's weird though, we haven't like, we want to play No Dream really bad. We want to play that record real bad.
Killer record. You're talking about No Intro. That record just punches you in the face from like the first moment of it. You just
This is No Dream, and then it starts.
Yeah, you don't have to say that. This doesn't need any introduction.
I like records that start like that. I feel like I don't know, opening a record, I feel like I'm always good at like the first 10 seconds of a record, and then the next like 4 minutes, it's like, okay. And then and then it's like, fine. By minute eight, you're like, okay, okay. Is that accurate? That's how I assess my own music. First good 10 seconds, you know, you're not sure for 7 minutes, and then you're already listening to it.
Then you're already there. They got you.
You're already there. What are you going to do?
Hooked you.
Then a big hook, track five, no other hooks. You're done. What else you need?
What our producer will need is the permission to use some of your music for our podcast. And I want to do one side.
He's like, he gives it away for free, but for us to use it,
you can
thousands.
$1,000.
You know, I like get takedown notices because the distributor for Polyvinyl has another distributor that is, I think, Warner. Warner gets their hands in the mix everywhere somehow. And so I get like takedown notices for my own music on Instagram very often. I'm like, no, it's my song. And like, why the fuck are you even asking me this? Like, what did I do wrong that this somehow like crept in there anyway? It's crazy. Impossible to avoid.
But it's got me thinking, like, do we put State Line first and then Horn Line on the outro, or do we flip? Because I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is, but
I don't know how your podcast is. So I mean, I feel like State Line is like the propulsive one, and then Horn Line is the chiller. So it's like, when do you want to chill? You know,
that's true. I feel like,
but then also Horn Line starts with the siren, so it's complicated. Because boop, that's a good start.
Matt, did we miss anything? I don't know. We just found out we were going to talk to you, Jeff, like yesterday. So our preparation was quick.
No, this was really nice. This was a nice thank you for having me on. I had a very nice time.
I want to tell this one small story, is that friend that introduced me to, you know, your music originally, and another friend that me and Joe both know, who Joe illegally uses his amp, Roy.
Sorry, Roy.
I don't how's it illegal?
It's not. He just at one point was like, said he accused Joe of using his amp jokingly, but he was hammered, so it sounded really serious.
Yeah,
and Joe was like, I don't even use your amp because we share a practice space. But bring so it back. I basically, up, Joe.
I know.
I basically reached out to both of them, my friends Brian and Roy, and I was like, hey, we're talking to Jeff Rosenstock. I know you guys love them. Is there anything I should ask him? And they're like, they both said basically the same identical thing. Nah, just tell him we love him. I'm like, great, thanks. We appreciate the help, but
that's,
you know,
not a question.
Very sweet. Exactly.
Brian, Roy.
Thanks.
Both basically just like, nah, he's fantastic. Just tell him he's awesome.
Thank you.
Are you going to do that now, or is that what you just did?
The story conveys that message. I don't think I have to repeat
Understood.
It.
Yeah, the story pretty much did convey that. I got it from it, mostly.
Yeah, mostly. Got the summation of
I read between the lines.
Yeah. I mean, don't touch Roy's amp.
Okay.
Well, yeah, anyway.
I mean, I kind of...
Actually, I feel like if you come to Boston...
I kind of just need it for this one show. Is that
fine? Yeah. We're going to lend it to you without telling him, just so he could lose his mind.
Can I change the settings?
Oh, please
for
do.
Sure. Or even better, you should just say... We'll just tell you that you can't use Roy's app because he wouldn't let you. So,
but I mean, will you text me like the code to your practice?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's like the best Smashing Pumpkin song.
I think you just told everybody the code to your practice space.
The code's tonight.
Tonight. It's tonight. Right.
The code's.
Why is that what I thought the best Smashing Pumpkin song was?
Trick question. It's a Zwan song.
Oh shit. Got him again.
Jeff, thanks, man. We appreciate you.
Thanks.
It was really fun to make a beer at you. Yeah. And then
sorry I was bad at emails. I'm really
no, it's all good, man.
If you're in town 2 days, you better let us buy you lunch at the brewery.
Okay.
Yeah, we have pizzas.
Other food.
God, Massachusetts pizza sounds good to me for like the first time in a long time. I'm getting a pizza tonight, so we're like on a pizza quest here. Also, if you're from LA and you're listening to this, I love you.
Sucks,
but your pizza's fucked. Your pizza's
horrendous.
Yeah, you know, it's fine, but it's like they merge like New York, I'll even call it East Coast style and Neapolitan style into one thing. So it's like a kind of fancy, kind of not big enough slice. It's fine. That's like the best case scenario. So, but we found a pizza that we've heard is reliable and good. But the way we had to get it was that we ordered a pizza on Sunday to pick up at somebody's house where they make this pizza today at 7:30. That's where I'm going after this podcast, which is to get this pizza that I'm hoping, unlike other pizzas I've fucking gotten here, is cut into triangles and not just like hacked in the middle with whatever shapes they wanted to make. And I'm just like,
what is happening out there?
I moved out here thinking like, it's fine. Pizza's good everywhere. And I wasn't right.
Incorrect.
And I can't believe it. I've been on tour. I've eaten pizza here and enjoyed it. Where's that pizza now? I don't know.
When you come to Boston, you can have our pizza, but I also will strongly suggest and help you find South Shore Bar Pizza, which is our own regional small style of pizza that exists in our area. And it is delicious and strange. And it's good. It's good. I know for this.
I mean, the last like New England pizza I was recommended, and bless everybody. I love all y'all. This is the New Yorker in me. Mm. It was like, fucking whatever that shit is in Rhode Island. That's like what is it? Tomato pie?
Oh no. We're not. Yes,
you know
yes,
what I'm talking
I
about.
I know what you're talking about. We're not. It's not that.
Why would you give that to someone?
Philly is worse. Philly, they serve it cold with unmelted cheese on it.
Oh, do you know about cold cheese pizza where you serve a hot piece of pizza with cold cheese on top of it? That's an Oneonta thing. And now it's like,
oh God, spreading. Oneonta.
Yeah.
It should not spread. Oneonta.
Oneonta gets to have one thing. I feel like, come on.
They're so
it's near Omegang.
I got a lot of love for Oneonta. I well, love for everywhere. I don't fucking care. I love everybody.
Go get your pizza, man. We'll see you in Boston.
Yeah, really I'll let you know. For that. I'll let you know how this pizza this guy made in his apartment turns out.
I expect at least to see like an Instagram story about it.
You know? I'll send you a photo. If I didn't do an Instagram story of the pizza that was cutting like trapezoids in the center that I got, I shouldn't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for like passable pizza. You don't get to like laud people for making like passable pizza.
Yeah, right. I shouldn't help somebody out who's just trying to do something because I like their product, right? That'd be fucked up. No, it's stupid. That's fucked up. No. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you too. Thanks a lot for having me on the thing.
Yeah. This and was fantastic.
For doing the beer together.
Yeah, that was really fun. Let us know when it arrives. Okay.
Should I drink it right when it arrives or can I cool it first?
You can cool it. We sent you, eight. Each ate with some little goodies, so you can save them or spread them around. And tell your band just that if they're so inclined to send a funny picture with the cans, we will use them.
Okay,
that'll be fun
for sure. Cool. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Thanks, Jeb.
I just have a question in general.
Yeah,
Massachusetts, weed legal?
Weed yes. legal?
Did it happen during the pandemic?
No. It happened a few years ago.
Was it 2018?
Yeah. I know. Well, I remember it got legalized, but you couldn't like get it anywhere.
Yeah, it took forever to open dispensaries, but yeah, they're open.
But did they open during the pandemic?
No, they opened before. They opened like a little.
Okay. Yeah, but they opened like three places, so like it took a while for it to really roll out. But
that's true.
That just now seems they're like everywhere. A weird,
now there's billboards
like,
and shit.
Oh yeah, now it's like full coverage.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's interesting to think about.
I mean, your old home state just did it too. My friend Melissa is the Drug Policy Alliance head for New York, and she was like badass, and she like went out there and did it. And,
thank your friend for me. God, I used to Google. I mean, it was never really hard to get weed in New York City anyway. No. Like, you just had to know who did it, and then you were good. But like, I was always just surprised that California had it for so long. It was like New York. Come on, what are you doing? Like,
it just took a weird sex scandal for Andrew Cuomo to like distract
like,
everyone.
Oh, you guys could have weed now. It's like, okay, like I don't know. That's like, that's cool, I guess.
Yeah, but they did it because
I don't give a fuck about a sca- I don't know. I don't know the sex scandal too. He did. Was he real bad?
He's just a fucking creep. I mean, that's and everybody knew he's a creep, and so the people were like, yeah, he's a creep.
Was he like grooming somebody, or did he just have sex with somebody he worked with?
I don't know that I
can,
I don't know that I can say. I just
either way, legal weed.
Legal weed, right. But it's done in such a way that like there's equity for people who have been a victim of the war on drugs. So there's like people who are gonna be able to open dispensaries who've had like records and like I don't know. There's a lot of stuff. It's like one of the more progressive laws in the country. So it's pretty badass.
That's awesome. LA is just like tax the shit out of it and like fuck you, this is how your weed is. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
But you can get it. Store. Yeah. You can like go to the store on the way to picking up a pizza in an apartment. So, you're picking up a pizza in an apartment from a guy, a legal pizza, but going to a store for weed and like waiting in line and like paying with a credit card and like all that.
Yeah.
What a world we live in, Jeff. It's better?
I don't really know. I can't like tell what is moving to the West Coast and what is the pandemic, and it's all just like confusing to me. So many people here just like sell food out of their house and they're
bathtub
like,
pizza
place a pre-order, we got the best fucking jackfruit tacos, and I'm like, oh shit, I want a good jackfruit taco, or like I want a good bagel, I'll place a pre-order with this person, charges $4
there
for a bagel.
Can't
fuck
be
it.
Good bagels in California.
There are good bagels.
Ooh.
Caveats. First of all, I'm lucky. It's a spot really near me has the best bagels, so I lucked out there. And there's a few, but also they don't. This place in particular, and a lot of California places, don't do sweet bagels because they feel like it's some sort of affront to the bageliness of the world or some shit. Like they like take it as a point of pride that they don't. So you aren't going to get a cinnamon raisin bagel out here. Like it's going to be really hard to find a cinnamon raisin bagel. And the good place puts fucking rye seeds in their everything bagel, which I'm like, That's cute, but that's not an everything bagel.
Rye isn't included in everything. Rye is outside.
It's not in a, like, it's just not in an everything bagel, right?
I think that's fair. Right? I mean, you're going to ask people from Massachusetts about what's in a bagel. I don't know.
It's the closest I could get. Okay.
We are near New York. You can see
it. Yeah, you're near it. I'm sure you could see a bagel from there. I don't know. Okay. Sorry for rambling.
It's all good, man. Thanks. Ramble on. We'll talk
Thanks.
To you soon.
Bye. Talk to you soon. I'll let you know how the pizza turns out.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Leave meeting.
Yeah, that was worth it.
Oh my God, that was great.
Yeah, that was good.
Chips, coffee, something that don't have the time.